You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from any number of variations of stories about people being in the court of King Arthur, to include the hit film Dark Knight Rises about Batman fighting King Arthur, but then realizing that both of their parents were named Martha, here on Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Nailed it.
I didn't realize that was that movie was based on a King Arthur's myth.
No, a lot of people didn't know that, but Bob Kane, like, he was heavily influenced by the myths of old. The real myths, by the way, I don't know if you knew that King Arthur is actually based off of a real person. His name was Prince John.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And welcome to a very, very special episode where I feel entirely off. And it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
Just like this episode of Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. No, it's a good episode. Yeah, welcome. The season is winding down. Only one episode left after this one. We are getting through the season. The holidays are upon us. All sorts of things are happening. But if you're new to the show, then make sure you're following us for any postseason or off-season content. You can do that over at Twitter at Rick and Morty Pod. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. Over on Instagram, Rick and Morty Podcast, or send us an email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. We are over on the subreddits. Brandon, cashing in those karma points. What are you up to? 700?
I'm part of the elite now. You know how they have, like, you have like Yelp events.
You're part of the one percenters in karma.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah. We have a Reddit event, like a Reddit pop-up that happens now, like in each city around the globe. And, you know, it's very, very exclusive. You go to the Magic Castle, well, outside the Magic Castle, like in the parking lot.
It's just in the parking lot. And they just have the little Reddit logo there. The way he got all that karma is over at rickandmorty.reddit.com, the official Rick and Morty subreddit. You can stumble through our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com, but make sure you're following over on the main subreddit. Also, you can go to our website, rickandmortypod.com, for all episodes of this podcast. We are, in fact, streaming live right now on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Hello to everybody that is joining us in the chat or is wandering into the stream. We are glad you're here. If you missed the stream for any reason, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Catch most video versions of the podcast over there. Thanks to everybody that's liked episodes, subscribed, comments, all those things really help. So appreciate you guys doing that. And then finally, you can support the show and all of our podcast endeavors directly over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Great way to help us out if you appreciate this content. So that's it. That's our show. Thanks for listening. Have a good week. See you next time.
Gotta commit to the gag, Travis. You gotta commit to the gag.
You gotta go all the way. No. It's gonna be different. It's gonna feel loose. You know, the holidays are upon us. Can't say that enough. So what better way to get in that holiday spirit than with a segment we like to call Semi-Pertinent News?
It's Semi-Pertinent News time. Yeah. Woo. Hey. Semi. Woo. News time. But woo.
But I kept this drum set in front of me just for that song.
Yeah. I worked being hard on that one, because, you know, there's no way that anyone is going to get a better musical cue than you, the listeners of this podcast.
That's right. I mean, it's not like it's just solely improvised now. At least there's backtrack anyway. Like, it's, you come a long way, baby.
All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and get into this Semi-Pertinent News. You know, we talked about this last couple weeks. It is December. It is the holiday season. It is the time of giving.
The holidays are upon us. I've heard that said.
And guess what? It means that, well, there needs to be a holiday gift guide, a Rick and Morty holiday gift guide. We were going to do an episode for it, but we're like, no, we got to get it out because the season is going into the middle of December. We just got to get it out. Right. So we did a little bit of research. We did a little bit of sleuthing. We went to social media. We went to Twitter. It's still there. And, you know, like we're like, hey, give us some gifts. Gifts ideas, and they said, okay, we'll give you some gifts ideas. Just kidding. We don't know because the merchandise is very, very slim this last season and a half.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like season 3 was like peak merchandise.
Too much merchandise.
Some will say too much. The show has become too popular, some would say.
Mm-hmm.
And evidenced by all of this junk around me that you can see on the video versions of this podcast. There's a lot of Rick and Morty merch options. But this was like Pickle Rick time. This was the times of Pickle Ricks and mm-hmm. and Evil Mortys and things.
King,
they
King
really
shit.
Leaned into a handful of characters, Meeseeks, and the merchandise all reflected that. And two seasons of the show have now pretty much gone by since then. Very little change. Very. The merchandise still really leaning into that pickle for some reason.
Yeah.
So I actually did some homework this week trying to look for merchandise, look for gifts that I felt like might be unique, not just the standard screen printed t-shirt that you can find in the bargain rack at mm-hmm. Kohl's.
Oh, yeah, you know, bargain like rack. Yeah.
There's options, right?
Bargain rack and Morty. They say
Rack and Morty. They say, I mean, Jerry gets all of his shirts at Kohl's. If it's good enough for Jerry Smith, what else is there to say? But we were able to pick out a few semi-interesting gifts and things. So if you have a Rick and Morty lover on your list, or maybe you are the Rick and Morty lover and you haven't seen any of these items, share with your family. Send them to the what appears to be a European UK version of TJ Maxx. and get them some gifts. What's the first thing we got, Brandon?
The first thing we've got is a note that says surprisingly little. We could probably take that out of the show notes. But, you know, I wanted to start with, let's go ahead and start with the TK Maxx. So if you are a UK member, that's weird. Anyways, at Wonderlost. So we reached out to at Wonderlost One on Twitter because they run a Rick and Morty merch account. And like, okay, if anybody's going to know anything about merch, it's going to be this person. And they also admitted that there's surprisingly little, but they sent us this link to TK Maxx. It is a chili challenge game over at TK Maxx. And it's a bunch of Rick and Morty themed hot sauces, and you can go to Amazon, you can get all those hot sauces, but here's why this is special, because it comes with two shot glasses and drink recipes.
Four shot glasses.
Ooh. Oh shit. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
So
double the value.
That's right. Double the value, double the hotness, right? You want to do some hot ones and you know, these little suckers, they eat chicken with their hot sauces. No, not as Rick and Morty fans. We take shots of hot sauce.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, only 8 pounds in the UK for this gift. Starting with a bang here on the holiday gift guide. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It comes with a little spinner, so you can spin the wheel and pick your hot sauce. Yeah, sure.
Great.
That's a thing.
What's next?
A thing you can get.
What's next, Travis?
Next up on the surprisingly little amount of things that you can get, you could get some shirts. There's shirts all over the place.
Right.
And again, I mentioned Kohl's and Target and things like that. You can get shirts. The best shirts that I saw personally in my searches was from Hot Topic.
Mm.
If you go to Hot Topic's website, I know we complained a little bit about how dated a lot of the merchandise looks as Brandon takes his shirt off to get into the spirit of the podcast. Hot Topic actually has shirts of the current season. There are like Knight Family t-shirts, things like that. So if you have a fan that or you really like an episode from this season, check out Hot Topic's website for some of their shirts, or you can go into their store.
Yeah, or you can go to WB store too. If you want to get it, you know, from the cat's mouth, you can go to the WB store. And speaking over at the WB store, there's two places you can get this item. Well, there's probably more than two places, but there's definitely two places that I know that you can get this item, and it is the Rick and Morty ornament for your Christmas tree or holiday tree or just a tree in the backyard, if that's your preference.
Yeah, put it on the tree in your backyard.
I think I saw maybe Dick Pose on Twitter, or maybe it was Phil Mark. They had Rick and Morty ornaments, and I was like, oh, and they're like, we'll trade you the golden Rick head for it. And I'm like, no.
I have a Plumbus. I have a Plumbus ornament on my tree.
Look at you. Look at you. Maybe.
Yeah. It's usually on the back of the tree.
Dear listener, you can go maybe and find your own Plumbus. But yeah, these ornaments, there's like $25 over at the WB store.
This one's a set of two that includes a Rick and a Morty separately. You could maybe put them in different spots on your tree.
Maybe.
And like really mix it up.
The WB store.
Real exciting.
Or Hallmark. You can go.
Hallmark. Hallmark. Obviously.
Eat fresh.
Get all like. Eat fresh at Hallmark. Uh-huh.
Speaking of eat fresh, that brings us to our next gift. Travis, take it away.
What a wonderful transition, Brandon. I'm so proud of you. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is the Rick and Morty official cookbook.
We talked about this
before. I still think this is cool. I think this is a good idea. I mean, we talked about a little bit in the past, some of the different recipes that you can check out in here. You can make your own pickle Ricks. Let's see what else is in here. Some drink recipes, some breakfast, some apps, some snacks, some sides, even desserts. So get some dark matter brownies in your life, get some Smith family pork chops, or hot dogs on a Rick, all sorts of, I don't know, if you have somebody that likes cooking. And that Venn diagram also overlaps with Rick and Morty. I don't know. I think this is a good option. Hardcover is $26.99 over on the Jeff Bezos website. So, yeah, check it out. Free shipping if you have Prime. Why not?
That's real cool. Yeah, I won't pick it up. But if you buy it for me, Travis, for a gift, I'll take it. And I'll make some pickles.
I'll just make you recipes and then box those up and send them to you.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. Piracy.
Yeah, like the pork chops. I'll make the pork chops and then put the pork chops in a box and
Okay. No, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. If there's any burger recipes, don't do that. I had a friend who, when I was living in Colorado, he was like, "Give me some In-N-Out." I'm like, "But I'm flying from LA." He's like, "It's okay. Just separate them all and I'll put them in separate Tupperware. I'll pay you, and then I'll put them together later." And I did that, and he said it was amazing. I don't know. Just don't send me hamburgers, Travis. Let me move on to one of my gift ideas, and this is semi-pert related, and it is.
Get
somebody you love an Xbox Game Pass if they have Xbox. Or if they have a Windows machine, get them.
That's a big qualifier there. Make sure they have an Xbox first.
Yeah,
and then,
or
if they do,
or if they have PC, if they have PC, you can get Game Pass for PC as well, because that the new Roiland game coming out is coming out on the 12th.
I'm trying to think of the name of it.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say Life is Strange, but I know it's not Life is Strange. I meant to write it down too. Travis is looking it up. Thank you for looking it up.
High on Life.
High on Life.
Obviously.
Jeez.
Obviously.
It's very strange, but in this game, lots of different characters voiced by Roiland and some other voice actors. Your guns talk to you. It's a single player experience.
JB Smoove.
Yeah.
Tim Robinson. Tom Kenny.
All the greats.
Michael Cusack. All Zach.
Michael Hadel. Cusack. I love Michael Cusack. So do that. It comes out on the 12th of December, but if you love games, if you love humor, it's gonna be good. Old Squanch Games, formerly Squanchtendo, which was a dream to, you know, to work with them, which I never will. The dream's dead.
One day you won't. Finally, this was my favorite thing that I saw as we were searching for underwhelming holiday gifts, right? Cookbook, maybe I would own myself. But this is the only other thing on the list that I was like, this is something I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind having that. This is a Rick and Morty peel and stick giant wall decal. So if you're familiar with like the idea of like the fat heads, right? Where you could get like a giant sticker of like a sports ball player your wall. This is a rather large. I don't think the actual dimensions are in the details here. Maybe they are. Yeah, it's let's see. That 2'6" by 3'10" by 12".
That's actually yeah.
Is that right?
I saw the link in the notes and I saw it said wall decal. I'm like, stupid. I wish Travis sucks. Why would he put this on there? And now I'm looking at it. And
it's like, almost like a full size Rick.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And the quality, it's like the big open mouth smiling Rick. It's a cool Rick that you could put up on your office wall, or I don't know, in your game room or your TV room, wherever you want.
Sure.
Right next to your bed, so he can watch you sleep. but like, it's less than $20, $19.90 over on Hot Topics website. I don't know, link in the show notes or something.
Yeah.
But I think this would be really cool, especially if you know somebody who likes to decorate with Rick and Morty. This would be a great addition to their collection.
That would be great. Well, everybody, that is our very, very short 2022 gift guide. I'm sure there's great stuff out there that we're missing. But chances are it's on eBay.
Great stuff
it's on eBay, I'm sure.
Before we move into out of this segment, I am curious. I'm gonna put you on the spot, Brandon. Is there a character, any character from the past two seasons, 5 and 6, that you would like to see featured on some merchandise that maybe isn't out there or is underrepresented in the Rick and Morty buy things category?
I'm surprisingly surprised that there's not more Mr. Nimbus out there.
Exactly what I was thinking.
I mean,
like very, very little Nimbus
with you know,
huge acclaim.
With back in the day, you'd have your action figures like with the He-Man. I had a He-Man when I was a kid, and you'd move their arms down. And I think the Ninja Turtles had it too, like the Raphael, where like you move his arms down and his eyes go,
but he does hip thrusts.
yeah, exactly. With a little dong going, I mean,
yeah,
he controls the police.
I think back to, you know, seasons 1 through 3, and we got, I mean, there's merchandise right here. I've got Meeseek, like multiple Meeseeks. Mm-hmm. I've got
I go
killing again. What's his name?
K. Michael.
K. Michael. Yeah, I got him as like a buildable figure. So many Snowballs, right? Snowball was in like one episode until this season. So I just feel like some of those smaller characters, like let's get some skateboarding dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Let's get a three-piece set of posable figures. Let's just bring back the posable figures line with a set of like season 5 or season 6 characters. I'd jump all over that. Obviously pop figures probably holding it down. I'm sure there's some decent ones.
Sure.
But even then I haven't seen too many. Yeah, outside of that, I don't know. Who else do you pick? Mr. Nimbus is the clear option.
I think that's it.
Space Beth spaceship. Yeah, there's a lot of options. Nah, thank you.
Zero options. before you let us move on, before you usher us into the next part of Semi-Pertinent News, Just a couple shout outs. First, Logie saying, I feel like there hasn't been a lot of new stuff in the last 2 years. Kind of a bummer that we haven't really gotten any merchandise from season 5 or 6. We demand Nimbus and Pissmaster Funkos. Good call. Like a Pissmaster, like riding like the glider, the piss glider.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. Pretty cool. And Schmeckles getting a picture of Morty, like sexy Morty, framed for the office. It's not the perfect, but it was the best they could find. Yeah.
It's a good one. I liked that picture. I didn't know if we should blow up Ryan Elder's spot like this. Initially, when I put this in the show notes as an additional semi-pertinent news, maybe I just miss doing the Dan Harmon social media minute, and so I'm now calling out other people's social media. But we are reaching a point in the year where if you are a Spotify user, you have been exposed to your own listening habits in a little thing they like to call Spotify Wrapped. If you're not a Spotify user, this is where Spotify tells you who your most listened to artist was, what your favorite genres were. It creates some sort of personality profile based on your listening preferences. It makes you rethink your choices as an almost 40-year-old man. And one thing that the composer for Rick and Morty, Ryan Elder, a close personal friend of this podcast, has tweeted recently is that it is that time of year again when he extends his offer to donate $50 to the charity of your choice if you show me that Snake Jazz was your number one Spotify Wrapped stream of the year. So there you go. The gauntlet has been thrown down. The challenge is on for 2023, Unity.
Yep.
That's right. You need to get Snake Jazz available on Spotify. Up to number one on your Spotify Wrapped, and then share that with Ryan Elder next year so that he can, you know, take care of some charities or something.
Yeah, like when you go to bed, just play it on repeat for at least like the first like couple of months, and like,
it'll be fine. It'll get up there.
It'll be fine.
Don't even trip, Doc.
Well, I think that should cover it for semi-permanent news. We went a little long today because we had the holiday gift guide we had to do. We don't have the Dan Harmon social media minute. It was the Ryan Elder music minute.
Ryan Elder tweet of the week.
And I think that'll do it for semi-permanent news because we have an entire episode to talk about, Travis.
Do we? What segment do we usually talk about episodes in?
Dan Harmon social media.
Is it the main thing?
Yeah, it's definitely the main thing.
It's the main thing, baby. You go down the... You the main thing, baby. Don't call the cops. It's the main thing, baby. Hey, give me my dollar back, you stupid machine. Ha, ho.
That was it was inspired by a time that I wanted a Snickers bar out of the machine. And then the stupid thing, like the little curly Q thing, it didn't come out. And I tried shaking it. It didn't come out. And it has a little number on there like, hey, call this if you have any problems with the machine. I called the number and it was a disconnected number. I'm like,
it went, doo, doo, doo.
Yeah.
The number you are trying to reach is not been in service since 1987.
Unbelievable. And that's why I wrote this song.
Give me back my dollar, you stupid machine.
Okay.
All right. This is the main thing. We have an episode to talk about. That's right. The episode is season 6, episode 9, A Rick in King Mortar's Mort.
Mm.
Air date, December 4th, 2022. Written by Anne Lane. Or is it Annie? Is it Annie Lane?
Anne
Lane.
It had been Annie. I think it was Annie before, but I looked it up and it said Anne Lane. So,
yeah.
And I doubly checked it.
Directed by Jacob Hare, guest stars Jack Black, Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter himself, Eric
Bauza,
dudes from Peep Show.
Yeah. In the subreddit, I got called out because I'm like, there's these dudes from Peep Show, these three dudes from Peep Show, they were voices too. I'm like, I'll put them in there. Anyways, I didn't put them in our show notes, but they are definitely on the subreddit. The Brenopsis, I will talk about our synopsis first, because I feel like Travis is going to talk about the Brenopsis. Our synopsis is, if Rick tells you not to do something, do not do it. Morty receives a gift from a random stranger on the street. Now, that synopsis by itself tells me, man, Rick's going to be a dick in this episode. Spoiler alert, the opposite of that.
That's really weird, because when I Google it, that's the synopsis that comes up.
Yeah, I know it is.
But you put it down as our synopsis. Yeah, you didn't write that.
I know. I always do. I always do that. Oh. Nowadays, I always do that.
Maybe I should start rewriting them. Yeah, I don't see a Brenopsis for this episode.
I got it. It's things are heating up. You know what I mean, bruh?
Heating up like the sun. Like the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, right.
Shoot, it's our turn in Catan. Thanks. Have a goo. all right. So this episode, obviously a reference to the 1995 film A Kid in King Arthur's Court, and not the Mark Twain story A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, or any other film adaptation of that original Mark Twain story. The name reminiscent of those storylines, but I found that the episode itself didn't seem to fall into that same genre of, you know, a modern day person that is somehow mysteriously teleported back into an ancient age. Obviously there's some crossover with the Knights of the Sun. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, did that throw you a little bit when the plot line wasn't right on the nose with the episode title?
Well, good news, Travis, is I've never seen that movie.
Oh, good.
And I've
or
never
any of their adaptations.
I've never read the story, and I've never seen the adaptation with Martin Lawrence either. I have not seen it, and I'll
so
be honest,
ruin it for you.
I probably won't. But you know, the thing about these episode titles is there's some homage, there's some reference, but they never stick with them, you know, strictly, right? Like analyze piss. Well, I guess that was pretty on the nose. But that was about a mobster, right? You know, and Rick's not a mobster, although he was in that one episode where they did the narratives, the narrative worm is in there with the GoBots.
Yeah, yeah, the Rick Von Jellian something.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm not disappointed in that. I'm not disappointed in that at all.
Okay.
All right. Well, so going into the themes of the episode as we've kind of done with episodes before this, you know, the big thing, we have it here first. And maybe we should have reordered this, but it's okay. The Vat of Acid Redux, right? That's like the big, the big
the
twist.
Redo. Yes.
At the end of the episode, we're you know, looking back at the Vat of Acid, it was a very Morty centric episode, where Rick took a back seat, and this episode we find with King Mortar's Mort it's a Morty centric episode again, where Rick takes a back seat.
I haven't done the math. And I feel like I don't want to do the math live while we're recording, but is this a 10th episode? Is this an every 10th adventure? Because I am very curious if the show has held to its original roots of the Morty adventure card, where every 10th episode ended up being a Morty centric adventure. They're not punching the card, obviously. But for a while, the show was still holding to that form, even without directly referencing the card. I would have to go out and do the math on this. But yeah, it definitely has a couple of on-the-nose references to Vat of Acid in this episode. And I did find it similar but very different in the way that in Vat of Acid, it was all about Rick being questioned by Morty, and so then Rick being vindictive and trying to one-up Morty by sort of like teasing him along and then slapping him in the face with the reality of what was going on and being just really vindictive and stuff like that. And this episode felt very different in that Rick was genuinely trying to sort of turn over a new leaf and allow Morty to make some choices, but support him in that and gain his trust back a little bit, because in the cold open, it's very obvious that there's an issue in the relationship between the two of them.
Yeah. The difference between Vat of Acid and this episode, whereas in Vat of Acid, in Rick is taking Morty along with him and be like, yeah, like this is how we're going to solve the problem. This is how we're going to do it, Morty. And Morty being like, I don't want to solve the problem this way. This is stupid. Let's not solve the problem this way. And so Rick kind of taking offense to that and saying, I'm going to be an asshole and vindictive, and you're going to see why this was a good idea. Whereas in this episode, we were finding that, like, eventually Morty comes to the realization that he does need Rick's help, and he does go to a Vat of Acid-esque solution. The difference is Rick was trying to force with Vat of Acid. This one, I think, is one of the main purposes of the episode, is Morty will come to me if he needs the help. Like, I'm not going to force him to go with a solution that is he's not comfortable with.
Yeah, I have noticed over like a period of time, Morty, like the adjustment in Morty's behavior, right? Like, what was it, season 4's premiere, where like Morty is shoots Rick and with a fake gun, not knowing it was a fake gun, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Morty's independence has continued to grow. I think of like Planetina and some of those other episodes where like Morty's really developing as an older character that's just not reliant on Rick all the time. Do you feel like this is potentially a turn in Rick and Morty's relationship and the writer's way of dealing with that development in Morty, to where sort of like they did with the last season finale, where they really hammered home the idea of them being a partnership and not just, you know, Rick being in charge and Morty being along for the ride? Is this another element of that? Like, no, they can have a symbiotic relationship and it doesn't just have to be Rick in charge all the time.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the beauty of this episode is everybody watching it, every viewer watching it, is wondering, when is the turn going to happen and when is he going to be an asshole? And it never happens. Going back to the heist episode, again, another episode where the whole point was that he was manipulating Morty. You're expecting the twist. When is the shoe going to drop? And it never happens. And in some ways, like, we're in Morty's shoes in that way. And so as a standalone episode, if like later it turns out Rick is being an asshole, this standalone episode will always be, oh, look at them. They have a fairly healthy relationship and he's really trying to do right and to be a better grandfather. And leaving it, I'm still like, well, let's see what happens on the next episode. And he only says 22%. So
22%. You're going to notice it though, right? Which he goes like 150%, I feel like, in the episode, which if that's his 22%, like, oh, how bad was he actually treating him?
Like, yeah.
But like, I think if I pair this with the previous episode, right, Analyze Piss, and I think about the writers being deliberate about Rick accepting the idea of therapy and growing as a person and changing who he is, not always behaving the way Rick used to in prior seasons, then yeah, I think, all right, maybe this is an attempt to develop Rick even more as a character and change how they interact with each other. I did get that impression that maybe this is just a way to manipulate Morty to get him to do what Rick wants again, right? Because a huge function of the show has been that Rick needs Morty to do what Rick wants him to do, right? If Morty is an independent thinker and makes his own choices, then that doesn't always work out for Rick's plans or his adventures. But with Rick being an asshole the whole first part of the show, it results in Morty going off on his own. So I there's a little bit, I think, of self-realization there. It's like, oh, I think I have to treat my grandson a little bit better if I want him to do the things that I actually want to accomplish. So
yeah, and there's,
I don't know, that didn't like come out, but I feel like there maybe is a little bit of ulterior motive there.
And yeah, there was little notes of it. The ending of the episode last week, we talked about him trauma dumping onto Morty in that case, you know, whether intentional or not. And him trying to be a better person. I wonder, like, if that initiation of therapy in that episode and then this episode, and then we'll see what happens in the next episode, which is a Christmas episode. I wonder what we'll see going into the finale. I keep thinking about Meeseeks and Destroy from the first season, where Rick takes out King Jellybean when he sees what had happened with that, something happened with Morty and him in the bathroom,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, whereas in that episode, Rick just does what he does for Morty. He doesn't help Morty like solve his own problems or like be there available for him. He just like does it in the background. He does it without Morty even noticing. And so now we're here, he's saying, I can do these things for you. I won't do them for you if you don't want me to do them for you. Do you want me to help you save your dick? I can do that.
Okay. I got you.
I got you.
Got you now. you talk about being an asshole causing a rebellion in youth. I already sort of referenced it, and I think they played it really heavy in the cold open, where everything that Morty was trying to do, every idea that he had, really was just blown off by Rick, and there was a complete aversion to everything that Morty suggested or what he wanted to do. So even like they were there on that meteor to go and get food, and then Rick decides to get food elsewhere because he thinks the line for the pop-up shop is too long. I think that I can see why Morty would gravitate towards another option, another set of beliefs or another society that immediately has the opposite sort of behavior towards him, where they're really considerate and they're like giving to him and they're complimenting him and things like that. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I don't know. Did you just put that in the show notes to make sure that you're not a jerk to your kids so that they don't rebel?
Well, no matter what we do as parents, our kids are going to rebel eventually. What they're going to do. But I'm doing a lot of comparisons to previous episodes maybe more so in the second half of the season, but the Vindicators episode, Morty does something similar, right? He's like looking up to other people and he's gravitating towards other people. And then it turns again, the twist is that Rick only cares about Noob, right? He's looking for some kind of mentorship, some idolization, and he's looking other places for it. And he's not looking at his grandfather. In that episode, Rick takes that and he's like offended by it, that Morty would want to go these yahoos. Turns out those yahoos are assholes too, but Rick is still like, he's not reflecting internally at why he's looking at elsewhere for that. Now here we are. He has gotten to a point with his character where he is starting to be like, okay, maybe there's something to this whole therapy thing. Maybe there's something to this whole bettering myself, at, you know, stemming from this, the premiere of the season. Right. So yeah, he's trying.
But my question, I think, to add to that is, okay, 22% nicer to Morty. He says it like maybe for one episode or one adventure, right? But do you like this version of Rick? Do you like this agreeable, supportive version of Rick? And if the writers just pulled a 180 and started writing this version of Rick into every episode, do you think you'd like the show as much? I honestly don't think I would. Like I think there is something about Rick's attitude that is lost in this episode.
I think I saw this on Reddit where some folks were like that the change happened too quickly. And so I think that might be what you're kind of feeling. Maybe I'll be surprised, but I would be shocked if he didn't revert in some way, shape, or form, to, you know, not caring, but I don't know, maybe refocusing the asshole niche towards others versus towards his family, right? Where I think we can sustain that Rickness if that Rickness is focused outwardly and not internally to his family.
Yeah. Yeah. Comments in the chat, totally agreeing with you, Nikki Chuck, saying the same. He can still be an asshole to everybody else in the world, just be cool with Morty. And then Peace Among Ricks, talking about how they wouldn't like the dynamic if it stayed that way, as it was in this episode. So yeah, a little bit of a split crowd. I think if the show had always been like supportive grandpa takes grandson on crazy sci-fi adventures, yeah, maybe it is just that it happened too fast. I think over time it could get more normal, but I don't know. We'll see what they decide to do. We have a finale coming up, so those are always big serialized canon type things with big exposed, you know, lore and stuff. So maybe we get some sort of event that, even though Rick's done all this work on himself throughout the season, something happens that affects his ability to process it and he reverts back to his old ways or something, or something solidifies his worldview and he, you know, becomes a different Rick in the future. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the episode yet. We'll all find out together.
I'm going back and forth on this because, so I'm gonna reference Friends here for a second with the Ross and Rachel dynamic, where
they were on a break.
they were on a break. It was like the whole will they, won't they, like they're back and forth. They'll end up together. No, they're not. Something came between them. At the end of the series that Ross and Rachel are going to be together, but you go through 9 seasons or whatever it was of doing this back and forth. We've seen hints of Rick and Morty developing over the course of the series with those little hints of Rick really, really caring about his family and his grandkid, right? And it just feels like at some point in time, you can't keep going back to the status quo of season 1 or season 2 or season 3. They have to move forward. And that those characters have to change and they have to adapt to, you know, viewer expectation or whatever. And if viewers want to stick around, then they will. And if they don't, then they'll go watch Andor, which is a great series. We'll talk about it later.
Yes, we will.
But anyways.
All right. Well, we talked a lot about themes from this episode without getting too much into the specific plot, but we can we could dabble with that in our favorite bits. But are there any other themes or overarching like ideas or concepts from this episode that stood out to you?
Yeah, the last one I wanted to point out I got my bachelor's in sociology. So I'm very knowledgeable back in 2012 when I got the degree about the systems that are tied together that create a functioning society. And what we find in this episode, Travis, is that Morty disrupts the centrality of that society, the basis of that society, without fully understanding the repercussions of his actions. As Scott Martyr points out in the inside of the episode, Morty is not giving a glossary of this world. He doesn't have time to figure it out, but he has to rule it.
I'm not going to read all the books, as he said.
So Morty disrupts everything. For a series that has joked about religion and like even in the episode, right, Rick talks about like, who just disillusioned his first religion, or what exactly that quote is. And everyone, like, Space Beth, Jared, they're all like,
someone just used science to dissolve a religion or something.
That's right. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, cool. And so then we find out that, oh, well, that was the pinnacle, or like the crux of that, of the solar system. Society's held together by solar systems. And so we don't have to talk too much more about it, but I thought it was cool for them to come out and say, hey, you know, like, everything in society ends up serving a purpose. And if you just completely get rid of things or disrupt it or destroy it, then all the systems that are reliant on each other start crumbling. And that's what we see in the episode with all the planets.
Yeah. I listened to another podcast. Dear Hank and John with Hank and John Green, who are two brothers. One is very atheist. One is not. And in their latest episode, they were talking about this topic and sort of how they can, it reminded me a lot of you and I, actually, how like we don't let the bigger like questions or issues with some of those worldviews affect like our relationship or the things that we agree on. Right. And I think the comment that really stood out to me is that, it's sometimes when you tie too big of an issue, like, to some of those worldviews, that it starts causing problems, right? And so, you know, I think that's evident in this episode where the entire solar system fell apart or fell into, you know, solar system war, solar war one or something, right. I think they called it.
Yeah.
Just over like an idol, some sort of, you know, scepter being made available and not being guarded by a certain group. So I don't know. Interesting commentary. Show's getting deep.
Getting
a deep show.
Getting deep.
And it's not all dick and fart jokes, although there are several dick jokes in this one.
this is probably something to say for like our final episode after the premiere, the finale. But I do want to point it out here and call me out if I don't comment it on later, which is, I love we changed it to talking about themes for the episodes. And I feel like for the most part, we can really cut into some of these themes and have these like these conversations about this type of stuff versus just being like, hey, turn into a pickle. You see that? No, there's, by the way, there's stuff to talk about there. But I'm just saying, like, our format.
I should have ever seen. Dr. Wong merchandise. That's what we need. We need more Dr. Wong. We need a statue, some sort of. Is there a pop? Is there a Dr. Wong pop?
I don't know. Let's go ahead and look Google that up.
We'll find that out.
In the meantime,
while we're scouring the internet for more merchandise, let's get into what were some of our favorite bits from this episode. There were plenty of jokes and gags for us to get a tickle from. Do you want to call it this first one?
Heck yeah.
From the end of the episode, but one of the best lines I think of the show.
It cracks me up. Oh, Morty, we're gonna make your dick so fake, buddy.
the resolution, the when they finally come back together and make everything right. We're gonna make your dick so fake, buddy. something that like. Under numerous rewatches as we do to prepare for the episode, I found Morty continuing to ask about the specific details about the Knights of the Sun. Like, okay, so it's a knight with a K, but is it sun like an O or a U? Okay, it's U. Got it. Now, like, how does this? And he asks all these questions both on the meteor and then also on the sun, but somehow misses the fact that he has to cut his dick off in order to be part of it. And even in that moment when he says, okie dokie, like, and puts the sword down slowly, that moment, I was just like, that's the question that he was looking for that whole time. It's like, all right, everything seems cool about this. What's the catch? There it is. Is there a bin I can put the sword in? Is there? Yeah. What do we do
with bin. This? Yeah. The sword bin. What a funny little concept. I watch the show. I watch TV with subtitles, not because I can't hear, but because Everybody in this house likes watching them with subtitles. So that Knight of the Sun asking about like the spelling of the Knight of the Sun, when you're watching it with subtitles, the joke doesn't land as well, or like that exchange doesn't land as well, because you can see they're talking about being the Knights of the Sun. And so I'm like, okay, put myself in the mind of somebody who doesn't have subtitles. Is it like knight? Like, why would it be the Knight of the Sun? Or Knight of the Sun. Anyway, that we don't need to talk about that. All the stained glass, that stained glass work, was cool. Like the stained glass of, oh yep, it's in stained glass, there it is.
Like it's right behind him too, the guy, what is he, stumping his stem and throwing it into the sun. Yeah. It's, and then also that at the end when the retelling of them casting themselves into the sun and their sunproof bones floating to the top.
the ladle, yeah,
the stained glass just really cracked me up.
The sword has already seen Blade and loved it.
Yeah, that's right. The AI sword. that was a great concept.
What I liked was when they come back to the garage and the sword starts attacking the table. He's like, yeah, that's the scene where he fights Deacon Frost, which is the villain from the first Blade movie. Chelsea asked me, like, who's Deacon from? Like, he's the main bad guy.
I had to Google it because I didn't have Brandon sitting beside me when I watched the episode. I liked that the one knight kept referring to Rick as a wizard.
That's right.
Because the only explanation for a man of science is that they're a wizard in medieval times.
King Arthur's court, man. King Arthur's court. You know, to that title again.
It's all coming together.
I do like that witch. the witch's bones.
The bones nailed it.
and Morty's reaction, like, wait, you're in space, but you also have a witch.
I didn't read, I don't have time for all the books, but just aren't I in charge here or something? There's a weird moment right after Morty dissolves the religion and they're in the living room with the whole family, and Morty's like, that's it, we're done. Feels early, but we're done. that scene does play like the end of an episode, and I like that little bit of meta commentary, like, yeah, no, we solved it. It's halfway through the episode, but I think we nailed it. And then obviously everything falls off the rails at that point.
Of course. Why would I hang out on Pluto? That's just some Jerry League shit. good old callback to season one of Rick and Morty. I love that bit. I love that Santa Claus is there, but as the Earl of Earth. that
I like that. I want to start referring to Santa as the Earl of Earth. Let's see what else we got. Is that, was there any? I have to scroll down.
Yeah, there's two more. The Rick has had, he's like, I've got three levels of failsafe, Morty. And all three levels of that failsafe are circumvented with the dick detectors that look a lot like TSA devices. I love that at each round, like, so there's a third detector. What is that about? Like, you have to pass the threshold for the second one first.
We prefer to reveal them one at a time as you pass the thresholds. Yeah. Five Long Years mentioning that they could have brought back the Plutonians. I noticed that as well. I was a little frustrated that Pluto was not the Pluto from earlier in the series. How's that for canon?
Well, because maybe Pluto was destroyed at the end of that episode. Besides, Pluto's not a planet. in that episode, I think they changed it. I don't know. I can't keep up with it with Pluto science.
I already mentioned the sunproof bones. I enjoyed the nods to Vat of Acid. They're a little on the nose, but I thought they were good.
That's okay. Yeah. Let's go into our best and worst parts of the episode, Travis. I'm going to ask you this question because I don't know what you're talking about. This, the wrong kind of meta. What's up with that?
This to me is like a potential worst. The best part of this episode, I think we fully agree upon. So, I was searching for something to not like about the episode, and I did feel like there were moments where the episode was self-referential in certain ways, even with some of the Vat of Acid stuff and some of the ways that it, I think there's an exchange right during like the war, right, where Rick and Morty are in the garage and Rick's like got all the monitors up and he's trying to defend Earth from all the war that's going on, and Morty is still like questioning Rick's intentions, and to me it feels like that conversation isn't there for the benefit of Morty and Rick. It feels like it's a conversation that's there for the viewers to be like, don't question why Rick is suddenly different and treating Morty nicely. Like, let's just go back to the story and enjoying the fact that Rick's being nice all of a sudden. And while they're not like turning to the camera and breaking the fourth wall, it felt to me a lot like, nope, we're changing how Rick is as a person. And don't question it. Just enjoy the fact that it's happening. And like, so for me, like, just after watching it a couple of times, that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Is like, why are they even having this conversation? And is it really because Morty's struggling to accept it, or is it because they anticipate fans not accepting that Rick could turn over, you know, turn a corner in this sort of way? So
it's interesting that you point that out, because there's a couple times in the episode where they actually break the fourth wall and they're actually being meta. This one is, I mean, it's the type I prefer, that lets you, maybe they are talking to the audience, maybe they're not talking to the audience, but you infer it as a reader or an audience member. Because that scene doesn't necessarily bother me, but it calls back to like the beginning of the season, the end of season five, where like it's going back to like, you know, like we can portal out. Yes, we can do that. But I mean, this is our problem, and we're supposed to be doing the whole commitment thing, right?
Yeah.
To be a little bit of reinforcement to say, this is what the season is about us changing and not being the status quo anymore. Let's do it. So I can see why it would rub some folks the wrong way, including yourself. But for me, I'm like, no, yeah, I'm good with it. That's because that's what it's about. And it does come off maybe a little like patronizing, just a smidge, like, no. Going back to the conversation about like, when is a twist going to happen? When is he going to be an asshole? It just never comes.
Maybe it's just the way that it was played or something. If it had been handled in like a different type of scene or something, but it just felt very much like, let's just have them standing in the garage talking about this issue. I don't know. I was like, I don't know if this is the best way to address that, but
yeah. And that's the first time you see them coming back from the break and after the montage, which is basically our best agreed. We both agree with this. The best part of the episode is the montage with Pink Floyd's Goodbye Blue Sky playing in the background. Let me just say this about Pink Floyd licensing. I cannot think offhand about an actual Pink Floyd song that I've seen in a movie that was not The Wall.
Sure.
In memory, I think Squid and the Whale. There's a movie called The Squid and the Whale where there's a cover of, I think, Hey You, which is also from The Wall, but it's a cover that takes licensing. But to have Pink Floyd, who they're not in very many movies, be in Rick and Morty, I mean, and that's just a fucking great song anyway. So amazing.
Did you find it distracting the first time you watched the episode?
I found it distracting because let me do a little side thing, Travis. Sometimes when you're listening to the radio and a song comes on that you love, that you've listened to hundreds and hundreds of times, and you're like, yeah, I've got this album. Oh, this is my favorite song. And then the song plays, but it's on the radio. So it's a radio edit. So they like cut a piece of the solo or they cut a verse or something like that. And it like throws you off. It throws me off.
Sure. Yeah.
What distracted me about the song, and I love the song, is what they did for the song is they took the end of Goodbye Blue Sky and then they put that at the very, very beginning. And then at the beginning, like the end of the song, they cut the end of the song and then started the song from the beginning. And me knowing how that song so well, I'm like, oh, threw me off mentally.
Does not compute.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a Screen Rant list, top 10 list of Pink Floyd songs in movies. Interstellar Overdrive and Doctor Strange. That's a pretty big, pretty big movie. Hey You featured quite a bit, both in the movie that you mentioned, Squid and the Whale, as well as a movie with Iron Man and Zach Galifianakis, Due Date. Also use that one. Wish You Were Here and War Dogs. So I mean, people are licensing Pink Floyd. No doubt there, right? But a song from The Wall, which was like a formative album for me in my youth, show up in this show. It was like I wasn't processing the visuals the first time I watched the episode because I was thinking about the music. So I was trying to like do both and then was able to filter that a little bit more upon rewatches. But great song for that scene and that sequence.
I
think it's really cool that they're able to get it approved.
So good. And the wall, that animation from the movie The Wall into that song. I love the animation there. 5 long years in the Twitch chat, old Greg mentioning, like, wonder how much that costs. Yes, exactly right. Because Pink Floyd doesn't license that much. They're not going to be on, like, a Chevy commercial being like... Oh no, it's just another Chevy truck in the just wall. Another
brick in the back of this Chevy Chevy Silverado.
Yeah. I might propose that commercial. But anyway, so because we're such great friends with Ryan Elder, I was very, very interested to be like, like, I wonder what the process for that cost. And if Ryan had anything. So I tweeted at him. I said, well, I tweeted and I included him in there. And I said,
tagged him in it, yeah.
Would love to know how fun the process of getting Pink Floyd into Rick and Morty was. Did you put any backup tracks together, Ryan Elder Music? And he responded with a gif of Leonardo DiCaprio doing the maybe. It had to have been a pain in the ass to get that song. And sure. And it had to have been just couldn't have been easy to do. And so I know that he had to have had backup tracks for it. Same thing like like Tales from the Citadel, right? In the city. Yeah. He had his backup music for it. So anyway, yeah, fucking so cool, man. So cool.
It was great. Highlight for the episode. I'd love a bonus track on my Spotify Wrapped of whatever song Elder was working on in case they didn't get it approved or something.
I'm gonna keep bugging him.
Yeah.
Until he's not my friend anymore. My best friend in the world.
all right. Well, that pretty much is gonna do it for this episode. A big thank you to everybody who hung out with us for this live stream. Five Long Years, Nikki Chuck, Have a Good Day Face. Even who stopped by for a moment and then like had to leave because they didn't watch the episode.
Greg's here.
Y.O. CERN or something. Yeah, Y.O. CERN. Thanks for stopping by. You guys are awesome. Even everybody that wasn't active in the chat but is still watching us right now. Thank you for being here. We are going to continue with the longstanding tradition of a Twitch-only post show. If you want to participate in that post show, we had a great one last week. Tons of fun. Make sure you are here for our live streams Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, whatever that is, Pacific. It's like 6 o'clock or something. Whatever it is. I'm sure it'll be quite an episode next week. Obviously, season finales tend to be a big deal. So make sure you don't miss it. And thank you to everyone who has followed along for this season. Brandon, you have the final word.
My final word is this, everybody. It's a holiday season. The finale's next week. We're gonna see some action. It's probably gonna be a canon episode. It's gonna be great. And I can't wait to experience it with each and every one of you in this holiday season. I'm Brandon.
Okay.
And this is Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Both of our moms are named Martha.
Bye.
See, I'm tying it back to the intro.